You're listening to Archer Radio.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queer cast on the internet. Today is Tuesday, December 6, 2005. And I'm going to start out today with something I saw on the Macworld, or it's the Mac... Oh, God, I can't even think of where I saw it from. Let me look at the internet. On one of the Mac sites I read every day. Let's see what it is. It's Mac Central, excuse me. I mean, that actually takes you to Macworld. Anyway, what I saw on there was that the... Word of the year is podcast. Now, I know that when people talk about podcasting on their podcast, it's meta, and Madge doesn't want to do that or thinks it's weird. But anyway, I just thought that was very interesting that the Oxford University Press, who are the publishers of the new Oxford American Dictionary, has selected podcast as the word of the year for 2005. Very cool. Now, I do want to read a little thing that I found when I clicked on the link to that, and it says, Aaron McKean, editor-in-chief of the New Oxford American Dictionary, said, quote, podcast was considered for inclusion last year, but we found that not enough people were using it or were even familiar with the concept. This year is a completely different story. The word has finally caught up with the rest of the iPod phenomenon, unquote. And then he goes on to say, choosing the word of the year is incredibly difficult, said McKeon, not just because of the enormous amount of data we look at everywhere, everything from blogs to technical journals to suggestions sent into dictionaries, dictionary@oup.com, but because everyone has such strong opinions about what makes a word of the year material. Then they go on to talk about it and says, podcast, will, in quotes, will be added to the next online update of the New Oxford American Dictionary due in early 2006. Now, there were certainly other words in the running for Word of the Year, but, of course, podcast made it at the top of the list. But some of the other ones that were considered were bird flu, which has been a big buzzword this year. Also, then there's a lot of initials. Like there's one ICE, which is information to contacting, or I know, ICE stands for in case of emergency. And it's the entry stored in one's cell phone that provides emergency contact information. And then there's also IDP, which is an internally displaced person. And that's someone who is forced to relocate within a country because of a natural disaster or civil unrest. And looking at the year, certainly there were a lot of IDPs from Hurricane Katrina. Moving along, they also have IED, which is improvised explosive device, such as a car bomb. And then they have life hack. This is one I had not heard of before. And a life hack is a more efficient or effective way of completing an everyday task. For example, in quotes, I found a great life hack for getting a cheap hotel room. I've never heard of life hack before. Has anybody heard of life hack before? I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, there's some other ones. Persistent vegetative state. There was reggaeton, which is a Latin American dance music. Rot kit, which I'm not sure. Okay, it says it's software installed on a computer by someone other than the owner, intended to conceal other programs or processes, files, or system data. Hadn't heard that either. And then squick, S-Q-U-I-C-K, which caused immediate and thorough repulsion. Was anyone else squicked by our waiter's piercings? Oh, that's weird. And Sudoku, which is that number game that people have been playing a lot. It says a logic-based puzzle consisting of squares that form grids within a grid. Into each smaller grid, the numerals 1 through 9 are entered but not repeated, and they may not be smaller or they may not be repeated in any row or column in a larger grid. I've heard of this, but I have not tried to play those games. Actually, there was a news piece on the CBS Sunday Morning News show about Sudoku, I think it's the way it's pronounced. And then the last one I thought that was interesting that was included on the list was trans fat. All of these words, of course, have been big things this year, but I think that's very revealing or timely that podcast was chosen as the word of the year. I love it. So enough about that meta information. I wanted to give you a little update on my video camera problems. I tried again to check out the video camera and see what was wrong with it, and I certainly did everything I know to do, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it, so I actually think the recording part of it is broken. So, excuse me. I definitely have to get a new video camera. So, today after work, I went to Best Buy. Well, I should back up a little bit. Last night, I did a lot of research online, finding out what kind of camera I would like and what features I want in the newest camera. And I decided on, because I really like the Canon that I had, even though it's broken. I've had it for like 3 years, I guess, two or three years. And I think it served me well, but with the recording part of it broken, I definitely have to get a new camera because I've totally gotten into video this year. So I have to get a new camera. But the question is, which one? Well, I did the research on CanonUSA.com or whatever it is, and I really like the Allura. I think it's Allura 90, I think it is. I have it written down. But what I like about that camera is that you can bring audio into the camera. So like you can do the recording with the camera, but the audio with a microphone, which is what I really like. So I have to find that feature. Also, I like on this camera, it has a light. So for low light situations, you can turn on this light and it will illuminate your videoing, your subject that you're videoing, videotaping, whatever. Excuse me, that's awful, I shouldn't do that. So anyway, today after work, I went to Best Buy and I was hoping to find the Allura 90. But, of course, they do not have the Allura 90. They had the ZR 100, 200, 300, 400. They had the Optra something or other. They had the DC-10, the DC-20. And those were all, either they were, the quality or the features were too little in the ZR line, or the features were too rich in the top of the line, and they were too expensive. So I didn't want that. I really want a middle-of-the-road camera. So I'm going to have to do some research tonight and see if I can find one online for a decent price. I really don't want to spend that much money because I'm going to end up charging it and I'll have to pay it off when I get my tax refund in late or February, I guess. Moving right along, when I went to the mailbox today to get my mail, I got a slew of Christmas cards. Well, I shouldn't say a slew. I guess four really isn't a slew, but four in one day was very interesting, I thought. And of course, it started to make me think, oh shit, I have to do my Christmas cards. And every year I think about the Christmas cards, and what do I do? Do I go with a serious card and, you know, write a little message that, you know, hope your New Year's great and happy holidays and all that stuff? Or do I go with a funny card so that people will laugh when they open the card? That's always a big question for me. Now, last year I did get some cards that were on sale. You know how you always get a your cards for the next year, this year, whatever. Excuse me. God, I hope that music isn't too loud. Of course, we're listening to Christmas music again. And this one is, I think it's a Pottery Barn CD that I got last year. Anyway, I was talking about Christmas cards. So I picked up these Christmas cards last year, but when I look at them now, I'm not so sure I want to send them out. So I might have to get some new Christmas cards. But and then I have to, you know, make my decision if I'm going to go with funny or if I'm going to go with serious. One thing's for sure, I will definitely not go with religious. I don't think it's a good idea to send out religious Christmas cards. Well, because for the most part, you don't know what the religion is. Well, maybe you do, but for the most part, I don't know the religion of the people, you know, the religion of the people I'm sending them to. So I definitely will not be sending a religious Christmas card. Now, I did already get my Christmas stamps. And luckily, when I went to buy the Christmas stamps, they were out of the religious ones, so I was able to get the nice like a snowman type thing. So I'll have the stamps ready to put on them, and they'll be Christmas stamps. So then my next question is too, do you go ahead and make your list of all the people you're going to send Christmas cards to and just go ahead and send them out? Or do you wait and get, as you get cards from people, do you turn around and send them a card? That's always a tricky thing too, because like every year, I'm sure you experience this as well, you get Christmas cards from people that you didn't send a Christmas card to. And in that case, do you quickly turn around and send them a card? And then, of course, you send Christmas cards to people that you don't get one from. So, you know, it's always a tricky thing. I wonder if there is actually any etiquette in terms of Christmas cards, like who do you send them to, and do you wait, and serious or funny? I mean, I've never seen anything about in terms of the etiquette, but so I'm going to be dealing with my whole Christmas card issue in the next couple of days, because I've got to get them in the mail. That's just it. I've got to get going with it. So if you have any advice on the whole Christmas card thing, let me know. And that actually brings me to another topic of the whole tipping people at around the holidays. Now I get the the newspaper, but I only get the newspaper, the Washington Post, on Sundays, and I only get it on Sundays because of all the ads that are in the Sunday Post, you know, and like the TV guide and all the stuff that you get extra with the Sunday paper. But I don't get it during the week. So the delivery boy only has to bring my paper once a week. Well, this past Sunday, when I got my newspaper, there was a card stuck inside from the carrier with a little note saying, you know, Merry Christmas. And then in there was a little tip envelope. And I thought that was a bit strange. I guess it's not strange, but I get put off by those kinds of things, because if you're going to tip someone, that should come from you. It shouldn't come from the person getting the tip. I don't think they should expect it. For example, I guess the way I see the whole tipping thing of the newspaper boy or woman or whatever the person is, I don't even know who delivers my paper, but basically I see it as, well, that's your job to deliver the newspaper. You get paid to deliver the newspaper. Why am I giving you a tip? Because you're doing your job? You know what I mean? I mean, it makes me think, why are you giving a tip? Now, for different things, I certainly understand a tip. Like when you get your hair cut, if you get good service, you give a good tip. Just the same thing as a restaurant. You get good service, you give a good tip. But things like delivering a newspaper, I just don't get the whole thing about getting a tip for that. Does anybody else tip their newspaper person? I don't get that whole thing, and I don't really like the pressure that it kind of puts on you to, you know, always give them a tip. And I also have never set a precedent, and I've lived here 7 years, and I've never given them a tip in the first place, so they shouldn't be really expecting one from me. And maybe I'm just rude or mean or what, but I just don't think they need a tip. I don't think they deserve a tip. Their job is to deliver the newspaper. If they do their job, that's great. Now, you know, if they went above and beyond, which I don't see how you can go above and beyond when you deliver a newspaper, except maybe you get it to my house before I wake up in the morning, which that's, you know, always the case anyway. So, I don't know, the whole tipping thing just, it gets on my nerves. And, like, I know I'm going to need to go get my hair cut soon, and I don't know if I should give her an extra tip because it's the holidays or what. I don't know about that either. But anyway, I'm not planning to tip my newspaper man or boy or woman or girl, because I don't know who delivers my newspaper. Excuse me. You know, I saw today also, which this was an interesting thing. Usually anything that happens in the Mac world or the Apple world, it shows up on the Mac Central site, my Mac web, you know, all the websites I check on the Mac thing. Well, today, what Apple announced, that they were expanding their video content on iTunes now to include like more TV shows. Like there's some classic TV shows like Alfred Hitchcock Presents and Dragnet, and of all of them, Knight Rider. Do you remember Knight Rider? I don't know why they would have that on there, but they do. And like Battlestar Galactica and some other shows that I, of course, would never watch. But the point is that, you know, I have Apple as my homepage, and when I started up my computer at work today, Apple came up and they already had it listed that they were expanding their video content on iTunes, and they had a show, you know, like a splash screen of all the different new shows and stuff being on there. But then, you know, I thought, oh, well, why didn't I see this on Macworld? Because that's usually the next place I go, would be my Mac site to check up any updates there. And for like half the day, they didn't have anything posted on there about Apple updating iTunes to include more video content. And I was like shocked, because usually they have they usually jump the gun, then you know faster than Apple does when they, in terms of their posting their changes. And actually, I did notice on I keep saying actually, God, I hate that. I did go to Mac Rumors, which is another place, and they had a little thing saying that the Apple was getting ready to do that, so they had a jump. But usually, the other site's on top of that much more than the other one. Anyway, so Apple is expanding their video content on iTunes. They did that today. Again, though, of all the stuff listed there, I didn't see anything that I'd want to buy and watch. So, unless it gets more, you know, but they're going to be, I did see, too, that Macworld Expo is going to, in San Francisco in January, is going to be focusing on audio and video content. So, maybe they'll be announcing bigger things then. Which, of course, there's a big rumor that they're going to be introducing the Mac Mini that is going to be like a home digital thing, whatever. So that'll be interesting to see. You know, I keep forgetting to mention, I think I mentioned it yesterday, I don't remember. Oh, that just made me think of something else I forgot to mention. But anyway, as you know, if you've been listening to the show last week or so, I have some artwork that is being auctioned on eBay. And my friend Bob, who posted it there on his site, reminded me that Thursday, I think it's Thursday, the auction ends. So you need to make sure you go to the site and check out the artwork and maybe even bid if you'd like to. Because before you know it, the auctions will be gone. And the thing is, Bob was going to post more artwork of mine on Thursday when the other sales end. But he's going to be out of town, so he won't be able to do it until next week. So this first round of artwork auctions will end, and then I won't have anything on there for like a week or so. But I know that I've got two sales, and whether people bid or not, there are two pieces that were already bid on, so that means, you know, I'll get I'll end up getting like $9 or something like that. But that's fine. It's like a start, so. And, you know, finally, tonight, because I don't want this to go too long, I got a nice email. Well, I get a nice email from Peter all the time, but Peter does a good job of, like, he listens to, like, a chunk of podcasts at one time, and then he writes me an email, and he doesn't review them, but he talks about them and asks questions and stuff. And he was talking about, on this one, actually, I should just pull up the email and see where he mentioned it in there. Let's see, he was talking about the By Myself video where I was talking by myself, and I was talking about the cork decorations at the Grey Ghost Winery holiday open house, and how they have decorations completely made out of corks. Well, then Peter asked, or said, he goes, corks? Do you know the Saturday Night Live cork soaker skit? And then he gave me a link to this thing, and I remember seeing it years ago. Oh, not years ago, a couple years ago. It is this funny, I guess, skit about these Italian, I think it's Italian winemakers who soak corks, and they call it cork soakers, which is, you know, kind of like a play on cocksucker. So it's very funny, and I'm going to insert it here as the last part of the show, so the show will end with that. It's about a 5-minute clip too, so you can always fast forward if you don't find it as funny as I did, because that's why I want to stick it in here. Anyway, so I want to end the show, but listen to this funny SNL skit. I don't remember when it's from, but it's called Cork Soakers, or, you know, play on words, cocksucker. Anyway, all right, enough of that. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for the emails. Remember the comment line, which is 1-206-600-4763. and call and leave me messages. You know, that just made me think of something. I was listening to the Little Fatty Cast, which, you know, I love Larry and the Little Fatty Cast. And they were talking about sending comments or leaving comments on the website because nobody ever comments except for other podcasters. And that made me think that, you know, a lot of my comments, not all of them, because I get comments from Tigger and I get comments from Beth and I get comments from Mike Hip and from other people too, but there are a lot of comments that are left by other podcasters. And that makes me wonder is how many of the people who are listening to my show are podcasters and how many people are actual listeners. So that just made me think. And when Larry says that, when he says about leaving comments on the site, and he says the only comments we get are from other podcasters, it makes me think, oh God, I don't want to leave a comment because I'm a podcaster. But the thing is, I'm also a listener. So, in that mode, and when I'm leaving a comment, I'm a listener, Larry. So anyway, and if you haven't listened to the Little Fatty Cast, you should, because he's funny, and I love his show. Anyway, I'm going to end for today. So, again, thank you for all the comments, the emails, the voicemails, and so forth. And check out the artwork on eBay, and I'll put a link in the show notes like I did yesterday. And now you can enjoy this cool clip from Saturday Night Live. And thank you, Peter, for sending in the clip. I'm going to reply to your email very soon. So let me just end this. So until next time, boys and girls, bye.
Right this way, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier. Any questions? Yes?
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now. These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
Hey! Hey!
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork. Come on, Luigi.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me. I would soak two corks at once.
So, are all corks the same?
No.
I like to soak the big, thick cork.
I like it along a skinny one.
I like the dark ones.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes until the cork is ready.
So how did you learn to soak corks? Soak corks.
You know, I'll never forget the first time I soaked a cork. I was 15 in a summer camp.
You know, I've noticed that all the cork soakers are men. Do women make good soakers?
Oh, yes. Monica, Carmela, come in here.
Come on in.
Mariana, come stai?
Monica, tell these nice people how you soak the cork.
Well, ever since I started soaking cork, I'm the most popular girl in school.
Is it true? Men come from all over just to watch us soak a cork. And Grandma Carmela still soaking cork at age 87. I gotta say that. It's great.
A great thing in Italy.
It's crazy. Ever since I lost my teeth, people tell me I soak the cork better than ever.
This soaking corks really seems like a family business. So does your wife like soaking... soaking corks?
Well, she used to when we were dating. Now, not so much.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when you walked in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker. Yeah.
Thank you. I dabbled in college. But let me ask you this. Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget. This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
Can you imagine that? Me soaking his cork while he soaked mine?
Oh, boy, yeah.
What year was that?
The year we soaked each other's corks? Yeah. That was the what? It was like 60... Late 60s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
68?
I wanted to say 70.
Now, you sure it wasn't earlier than that?
I know, it was some time, all right?
Let's just say between 68 and 70, okay?
This is all really so fascinating. So, do you think that one of you could teach me how to soak corks?
I do it!
Oh, I'm sorry. Come with me, my Bella. I will let you soak my cork as long as you want.
Well, I'm Chabella. Bella, I just want to do it. Cheers. Come
on. You've been listening to Archer Radio.